Amen. Brothers and sisters. Amen. Please pray for me. I need your prayers so that the word this morning may be released unhindered.
Amen.
I'm feeling a little bit under the weather because of my cough, and that's why my voice is very coarse right now. Oh, but thank the Lord. Amen. Oh, we pray that the word this morning,
amen,
can be released. That the burden can be released. Oh, thank the Lord. We come to our last message. This last message is the last message concerning the vital groups. In this message, this is talking about contacting people. In the previous messages, we have seen that the vital group starts with one person who is desperate, one person who received the burden from the Lord for the, amen, increase of the Lord, who cares for the increase of the body. And then this one person, after confessing, amen, his sins, being open to the Lord, being infused by the Lord, oh, we'll find a companion to pray together with. So after having two or three companions, praise the Lord, they are now ready to go out. They are now ready to contact people. Brothers and sisters, do you love to contact people? What is your purpose in contacting people? Some people are very extrovert. The extrovert ones, they love to contact people because they just like to talk. As long as they can talk, oh, that will make them very happy. But, amen, brothers and sisters, do you know that our God is also one who loves to contact people? Our God loves to contact people. From the first day that man was created, he just loved to contact them. Even though man failed, even though at that time they ate of the forbidden fruit, but God did not give up on them. God continued to visit them. God continued to contact them. And when God contacted them, he gave them the promise of the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Oh, that really cherished them. They were very so afraid of God at that time, right? They were hiding themselves from God. But God was looking for them. Where are you? Oh, when they heard that gospel, when they heard that good news, they were just so happy. And that's why Adam gave the name Eve to his wife. Eve means living. We shall no more, we will no more die. We will live. God continues to contact man. He came to contact Noah. He gave him the design of the ark, the patterns for the ark, the measurement for the ark. God contacted Abraham and promised him to the good land flowing with milk and honey, and he led him to that land. God contacted Isaac. God contacted Jacob. God even wrestled with Jacob. Right? And going back to Abraham, I forgot. God even dined with Abraham. Abraham prepared a love feast for God. They were eating together. They were having communion friend to with friend. They were having fellowship with one another. And then that's the time that God opened his what is in his heart to him and revealed to him what he's going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? Oh, God just loved to be with man. God loves man to such an extent that one day he himself became a man. Amen. And when he became a man, he contacted, the 12 disciples. He contacted Peter, James, John, right? He contacted them. He was contacting people all the time. His life was a life of contacting people. But right now, brothers and sisters, God will no longer appear to men physically. Unlike what he did in the Old Testament, unlike what he did when God was incarnated to be a man, for those 33 and a half years, he was in the flesh. He can be seen by men. He can be touched by men. But after the Lord died and resurrected, God will no longer appear to men. But that burden for God to contact men is still there. So God wants to continue to contact men, but this time, how will he contact men? Oh, through each and every one of us. Because we are the continuation of the manifestation of God in the flesh. So God still is contacting people, but he's contacting them through you and me. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what? In Romans 10:13, this verse, I believe we are all very familiar. What is Romans 10:13? For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we are very familiar with this verse. But what about the next verse? What does the next verse say? How then shall they call upon him into whom they have not believed? How will they call if they have not believed? And then, how will they believe if they have not heard? And then, how will they hear if no one proclaims? And then it did not end there. And how will they proclaim unless they are sent? And then it says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the news of good things. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet. The Bible did not say, how beautiful are the mouth. Sisters, how beautiful are the feet. Sisters, you want your feet to be beautiful? You don't need to put pedicure. That's not the way to make it beautiful. In God's eyes, beautiful feet are those who are going out. Those who are going out to contact people. That's how we make our feet beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, so let's go out. Let's contact people. Amen. Well, in the matter of contacting people, okay, here in this outline, two Roman numerals. Roman numeral 1, okay, is the preparation before we go out. Before we go to contact people. Roman numeral 2, amen, is the actual going out of contacting people. Okay, so Roman numeral 2, later our brother will share more on that, but I will just focus on Roman numeral 1. In Roman numeral 1, it says, we need to have a weekly time to pray for our work of contacting people, studying their cases, fellowshipping about them. We need to have a weekly time to pray. Brothers and sisters, 1 week without prayer makes 1 week. If you don't pray for 1 week, you will become weak. But of course, we need to pray every day. But at least we need to spend one time a week to pray for people. Do you pray for people? Many times we have to admit, when we pray, we only have three names in our heart. We're always praying for three names. Who are these three names? What are these three names? Me, myself, and I. Whenever we pray, we always pray for ourselves. But you know, the high priest in the Old Testament, whenever they would come into the Holy of Holies, they need to wear a breastplate. They need to have the shoulder plate. And on the breastplate, there are the 12 precious stones. Amen. And then all these stones, there are names. Names inscribed, right? And then each one is lit up. So they come before God. Right? Meaning to say, whenever they come before God's presence, they bring these names to God. Amen. Oh, in the same way, brothers and sisters, we need to learn, amen, to pray not just for ourselves, but to pray for people. Amen. You know, I always remember what the brothers ahead of us say. They say today, we are saved. It's because somebody prayed for us. Do you believe? Do you believe why you are here right now? Because somebody prayed for you. Well, I believe. At least I know my mom prayed for me. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm here. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't you want your loved ones to be saved? Don't you want your best friends to be saved? What should you do? Pray for them. I know of a brother. He testified. He prayed for his dad for 20 years. But eventually, his dad also got saved. Do not be like the rich man. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man and Lazarus, they both died. Then they went to Hades, but they were in the different parts of Hades. One was in paradise, Lazarus was in paradise, and the rich man was in the place of torment. He was suffering there. But then when he was there, he remembered. He remembered he has what? Brothers in the flesh. He remembered he has loved ones. And he said he doesn't want them also to end up in the same place with him. And then he told Abraham was there. Lazarus was laying in the bosom of Abraham. Can you please tell Lazarus, right, to go back, to come back from the dead, to warn my brothers so that they will not end up in the same place with me. But guess what? It's too late. It's too late already. Brothers and sisters, do you want one day, if the Lord delays, and then we also end up in Hades? For sure, you will not be in the place of torment because you believe in the Lord. You will be in paradise. But your loved ones, they will end up on the other side. And the worst part of that is, you can see them. The worst part is, you can talk to them. My goodness, right? I don't know how that is possible. But that's what the Bible says. There's a chasm in between. But they can communicate with one another. But at that time, your loved ones, when you see them, they might even blame you and told you, when you were still alive, you never preached the gospel to me. Look at me right now. I'm suffering. I end up in this place of torment. Never, not even once you mentioned about the Lord. Brothers and sisters, what would you feel at that time? Amen. So, right now. Now is the right time for us to pray for them. Amen. We need to pray for our loved ones, pray for our friends, pray for all men, because God desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Amen. You know, I remember Brother Watchman's testimony. Brother Watchman Nee, and after he got saved, he was zealous for the gospel. He wanted to preach the gospel. And then, but you know what happened? We know Brother Watchman Nee is very well versed familiar with the Bible, read through the Bible 52 times, read through the New Testament 52 times a year. But you know, surprisingly, after he was saved for 1 year, he preached the gospel. Nobody got saved. Nobody got saved. Okay. So he met a sister, the co-worker of Margaret Barber, Miss Groves. Miss Groves told him, "You have to speak to God first before you speak to people. Speak to God first before you speak to people." Let me just read a short portion here. He said, "After I was saved, I spontaneously loved the souls of sinners and hoped that they would be saved. To this end, I began to preach the gospel and to bear testimony among my schoolmates. After nearly a year's work, however, no one was saved. I thought the more words I could speak, the more reasons I could present, the more effective I would be in saving people. But though I had much to speak concerning the Lord, my words lacked power to move the listeners. About this time, I met a Western missionary, Miss Groves, Margaret Barber's co-worker, who asked me how many persons I have brought to the Lord in the year following my salvation." Right? Okay, Brother Lee was so shameful to say none. And then that's the time that Miss Groves told him, "You have to speak to God first before you speak to people." So then Miss Groves told him, "You should pray to God. Make a list of your schoolmates' names. Ask God which of them you should pray for. Pray for them daily, mentioning them by name. Then when God affords the opportunity, you should bear testimony to them." Amen. Then, after some time, he called on Miss Groves again and said to her, "I have fully carried out your instructions. Why is it it's not effective?" She replied, "Do not be disappointed. Keep praying until some are saved. By the Lord's grace, I continued to pray daily. When opportunity arose, I bore testimony and preached the gospel. Thank the Lord, after several months, all but one of the 70 persons whose names were in my notebook were saved." This is such a wonderful testimony. Here we can see, it's not how eloquent we are. It's not how well-versed we are. Brothers and sisters, it depends on how much we pray. So we need to have a weekly time to pray for our work of contacting people. And then we have to what? Study their cases. Study their cases and fellowship about them. Fellowship about them. Okay, there's a verse here which is quite interesting. It's 1 Corinthians 1:11. In that 1 Corinthians 1:11, Paul said that, "I have come to know that there are strifes among you." Paul came to know the condition of the Corinthians because of the household of Chloe. There was this household who was full of care for the Corinthian saints. And they fellowship with the Apostle Paul regarding the situation of the church in Corinth. That's why Paul wrote that epistle to them. And in that epistle, we can see that Corinth had 11 problems. But nevertheless, amen. Because even though there are problems, still Paul was there ministering life. Paul was there ministering the cross, because the cross and life, right, can solve all the problems in the church. Just like the high priest I mentioned a while ago, when they enter into the Holy of Holies, right, all the stones are lit up. How do you know God is speaking? How do you know God's will? Well, it is when one of the stones will dim. Before, I thought it's the other way around. God speaks when it will light up. But no, it's when it becomes dim. Meaning to say, when a certain saint or a certain gospel friend whom we are praying for, whom we care, who is in our heart, right? We suddenly, we realize, okay, something is not going smoothly with this person. Maybe he has suffered some setbacks, or maybe he is brokenhearted, right? Or something negative happened. You know what? Many times, that is God speaking. God is speaking to you. Now is the right time for you to contact Him. Now is the right time, because now He needs the gospel the most. Now is the time that He needs the Lord the most. Amen. Oh, we need to care for people. We need to love men, just like how God is a lover of men. Amen. Okay, so I will just go through it quickly. Each week, we should meet with our group to pray for the purpose of contacting people. Then we should fellowship about the situation with our contacts so that we can study their cases, fellowshipping about them to receive the mutual help. Amen. You know, once a week, me together with some of my companions, we would, amen, come together every Lord's Day afternoon when there's no meet. During that time, there's no meeting. That's the time when many of the saints are also free. So we would go out to contact people. Right? We have also a list. And before we go out, we pray for them and we study their case. And then we will fellowship. What material are we going to use to shepherd them? Because each one, the situation is different. The condition is different. Right? So what material are we going to use? What is the appropriate material? Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says we must give food at the appointed time. Amen. There is a proper time, an appointed time in our going out. Brothers and sisters, amen. Let me first ask you, how many among you here are former trainees? Please raise your hand. You have been trained, whether in Malabon, in Anaheim, in Taiwan. How many? Oh, okay. I see many saints, they're very shy to raise up their hands. Okay, thank you. My next question is, how many among you have a set time to go out every week? I believe, thank you, sister. I believe when you were in the training, our brothers told us we need to have 2 hours a week. Give that 2 hours a week to the Lord for the purpose of going out to contact people. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I hope that you would renew your consecration before the Lord. Right? So together with your companions, amen, as a vital group, amen, weekly, go out to contact people. Okay? Amen. So, I will just jump to letter B. We need to consider all our acquaintances. We need the proper discernment in our consideration of whom we should labor on. We should spend our time to labor on those whom we consider to be promising, and not waste our time on others who are not open. So, brothers and sisters, we need to also know how to invest our time. Spend our time wisely, right? If you're a businessman, you have this capital, you know where to put your money, where it will grow, so that it will not go to waste. In the same way, today, our going out, our time is limited. We do not have all the time, right? So, Amen. You need to pray and seek before the Lord. Who are the promising ones? Meaning to say, who are those who have the working of the Holy Spirit? Right? Those who have the working of the Holy Spirit, you have to spend more time with them. But some people who are not so open, it doesn't mean you give up on them. It means for the meantime, you just set them aside. Wait for the time in which the Lord, you will see the Lord is working in him through his environment. He will become, when he will become more open, that's the time you go back to visit him. Amen. So we need to have what? We need to study their case, and we need to fellowship with one another. Amen. So don't forget, we need to pray, study, and fellowship before we contact people. Okay. So our brother will continue.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, this time, in the conclusion of our year-end conference, where we are talking about the matter of the purpose of the vital group, And the purpose of the vital group is to gain the increase for the Lord's recovery. That's a very important word, the increase of the Lord's recovery. So our portion has this title. We need to produce vital groups. That's first. Produce vital groups. And the second is endeavoring to gain people. We endeavor to gain people. We need to gain people, right? For the body. Amen. We need to gain more people for the body. This morning, maybe we are 1,000 strong here, or less than 1,000, right? Amen. But compared to the number of people out there, it's a very small number, right? So the burden here is first produce vital groups, and then the vital group will carry out what the Lord wants to do. What is that? Gain people for the body. Okay. The brothers have made a very, very good outline, and the topic that the brother gained from the Lord is very, very good. It's how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. It's a how-to. How-to. You know, when you hear the word how-to, we would think of step one, step two, and step three, right? But here we can see the how-to is a matter of conducting ourselves in the house of God. How do we conduct ourselves in the house of God? What is the house of God? And in our outline, the brother has shown to us, this outline has shown to us that, firstly, the house of God is the church of the living God. The house of God is the church of the living God. The very God who lives in this house is the living God. Right? He lives, he moves, he acts in his house as the house of the living God. And we who are not just the members, no, this is not just our house. We are also the members of his household. We are also learning to live in him. We're also learning to live by him and learning to live with him. Amen. This is indeed the house of the living God. If we have such a, you know, we have such an impression, I say it's an impression that the church is the house of the living God, then we know how we are going to conduct ourselves in his house. We are not dealing with a set of doctrines and the how-tos. We are dealing with a person, a living person, the living God. Because he lives, he speaks. And in this outline, a very particular thing to conduct ourselves in this house is to respect, honor him as our head. Hallelujah. Amen. We have our head. You know, we brothers, married brothers, we always say, we are the head. But the Bible says, the ministry says, if you don't submit to the original head, you cannot be a proper head of the house. Right? The real head is Christ. He is the head of the church. Right? So we need to learn how to honor him. And in the fellowship of the brothers, we are told that we need to really contact the Lord. He is first and foremost. Tell him, ask him, and be instructed by him. We don't go to a brother first to fellowship with them. Of course, the brother said that when we fellowship with the brothers, they will lead us to the head. Right? The brothers will never tell us what to do. They will never tell us what to do. When you ask them, they will always say, turn to the Lord. Amen. Pray to the Lord, because he is our head. Right? Only he has the right to say. So we need to learn how to conduct ourselves in the house of God by respecting the headship of Christ. Amen. And secondly, the church is the pillar and base of the truth. And we learn from the fellowship of the brothers, the truth here is not it's not doctrine, it's not mere teaching concerning a biblical teaching. The truth is a living person. The source of the truth is just God himself. The only truth, the only reality is God himself. Apart from him, no reality, right? And this God is embodied in Christ. So the Lord says, when he was incarnated, that it was the reality. I am the way, the reality, and the life. So the truth is the reality. It's just the Lord himself. And I learned from the fellowship of the brothers, Christ lived a life full of reality. In his living, he really manifested God. That kind of living is a living that is full of reality. He was not just behaving according to biblical teachings. He was living God in his human living. That kind of living is reality. Even the Apostle Paul, he said that they manifested the truth and they commended themselves to every conscience of men. That means when they ministered, when they lived what they ministered, people saw God in their living. That's why the Bible says we need to learn Christ. If indeed you heard him and been taught in him, right? As the reality is in Jesus. The reality in Jesus is just his living in which he just expressed God. That living is reality. Now, if we say we need to bear the truth, what does it mean? It means in our church living, we need to learn how to live in this way. We learn Christ as the reality is in Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And lastly, the first three messages, the last one is the manifestation of God in the flesh, the corporate manifestation of God in the flesh. That's the church. How do you and I behave in such a church? Right? So it's not a matter of just behaving according to do's and don'ts, not even according to biblical teachings. Right? It is really a matter of conducting ourselves by the Lord himself. Right? By the Lord himself. So I was thinking, maybe this first three, we can say that this is something very essential. Very essential. So, you know, this morning, a brother prayed. I was touched by his prayer. Said, Lord, bring us up to the standard of the church. A church life that is up to your standard. What is that church life that is up to the standard of God? The first, you can see here, right? Somewhat. The first three messages speak of this standard of God, right? If you just try to think of this, If we have such a church life in which everyone is learning to be headed up in Christ, small things, big things, anything and all things, we learn to deal with Him as our head, right? In the full-time training, it's very tempting, very tempting. Trainees will come to us and will say, "Brother, what shall I do?" If you're asked that way, it's very tempting. The one and the two and the three items, this is the way you do it. This is the way. Take this way. Then you fail. The best is, "Brother, let's pray." Right? Let's turn to the Lord and ask the Lord. Right? This is to recognize the Lord as our head. Amen. Now we come to this. We come to our portion. It starts, you know, our topic is the vital group and starts with a vital person. A vital person. The definition here says a vital person is someone who's living, is very active, is desperate, is absolute for what? For the increase of the Lord's recovery. The reason he is vital is because he is burdened by the Lord, desperate and absolute for the increase of the Lord's recovery. Amen. Right? Amen. Oh Lord Jesus, may the Lord burden us. No? It's 2023, right? Few days and it's 2024. May the coming year, we will have not just an impression out of this conference. May the Lord really work within all of us. We will have a burden inside of us and we will tell the Lord, "Lord, I am no longer contented." Contented. Make me desperate and absolute for the increase of the Lord's recovery. It starts with that. The brother said that if no desperation and absoluteness for the increase, no reason to be vital, right? We are not praying to be vital just for the sake of being a vital person. Oh, I'm vital. I'm living. But I'm from the beginning to the end of the year, I'm so barren. Right, I'm so barren. I'm not bearing any fruit. So that is. But maybe there's such a situation. But the thing is, we don't have that kind of sensation inside. No kind of desperation. The brother said to be desperate for the increase and for the increase of the Lord's recovery means it's a to that one. It's a matter of life or death. If I don't bear fruit, I don't have a way to go on. I cannot live in this way for the rest of my life. So may the Lord work within all of us. In relation to this, I was thinking, how can we become a vital person? Then I remember. In the book of Ezra, have you read that? The first chapter of Ezra, the Bible says, that one day, you know, the children of Israel, they were in captivity. And according to Daniel, they will be there for 70 years. 70 years. And of course, Daniel was in Babylon. He was praying because he saw from the book of Jeremiah, just 70 years, and God will release them after 70 years of disciplining them. That he will release them. So Daniel was praying for that. Right? Maybe he was asking, "Lord, it's very near. The time is very near. What are you going to do?" Maybe he was praying. Then the verse says, one day, Jehovah stirred up. Have you read that? He stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Right? He stirred up and he made a proclamation. Whoever of his people wants to go back to their land, you can go. Even you can take the king's substances to go with you to build a house for Jehovah because he is God. He is the very God of all the earth. So he stirred up Cyrus, a Gentile king. Then Cyrus made a proclamation. And when he made the proclamation, the Bible says that Jehovah stirred up the spirit of the children of Israel. The heads, he stirred up the spirit of Ezra, Zerubbabel. He stirred up the spirit of the heads of the fathers' houses. He stirred up the spirit of the Levites, right? And they rose up. They rose up. And they went back to their holy land to build the house of Jehovah. Who did it? It was Jehovah. He stirred up the spirit because he stirred up the spirit of the saints because he was desirous to build his house, to build his house in Jerusalem, because the house of God is the very expression of God, his testimony on the earth. If God has no house, he has no testimony, right? In the same principle, brothers and sisters, today, the Lord wants to stir. I'm not trying to, you know, to sound a revolution, okay? This is not revolution. I cannot stir up your spirit, can I? I can only speak words to you. We can only speak words to you. But let the Lord stir up the spirit of every one of us. Amen. For 2024, we will tell the Lord, I don't know when it will come to you to turn to the Lord and make a transaction with him and tell him, Lord, 2024 is coming. All this year, I did not bear any fruit. Are you going to allow me to continue this way year after year? I cannot live. You know why we can't live? A day is coming. A day is coming. You and I will, you know, sorry, this is on the side. A day is coming. We are going to have an accounting report, right? An accounting report. The Bible says one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, right? And we will make an accounting. You know, I remember one time, we were in Tuigaro, Brother Jacinto and myself, and he made me an example concerning the time of the judgment, okay? And at the judgment seat of Christ. So, he was calling, okay, because the Bible says it will acknowledge you at the judgment seat if you're okay. If not, it will not acknowledge you. So, roll call. One, the Lord says, Peter, then lastly, my name. I was standing there. Andig at indig. And Brother Sito was acting as if he sees the Lord. So he said, it was not moving, he was not saying anything. He was not acknowledging me. And I'm blushing. I'm being embarrassed. So I said, Brother Jacinto, tibu ka na. Hindi. But that is just a human illustration, right? One day, it will be like that. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and it's about how many? How many have you brought to the Lord? Right? So, oh Lord Jesus, may the Lord stir up our spirit. May He stir up our spirit. For 2024, we will make a consecration to the Lord, a transaction to the Lord. Lord, this 2024, I want to be a fruit-bearing branch. I want to bear fruit for your glory, right? Amen. Let me just read this to you. Amen. So what's the purpose of the vital groups? It is the increase, it is the perfecting, and it is the building up of the body of Christ. The vital groups are to gain the increase, finish the perfecting, and complete the building. That's the purpose of the vital groups, right? We need increase, we need perfecting, and we need the completion of God's building. right? You know, a vital group is actually, the way I see it, a vital group is a built-up group. A vital group, we can say, is the reality of the church life. Why? Because a person became vital, became desperate for the going on of the church. So he touched someone. Can you join me? And because he's vital, surely he can make that one vital. Because he's desperate, he's absolute. So that one becomes also a vital person. So he asked him, brother, what are we going to do? Maybe we should come together to pray, right? So they prayed together. They prayed and they say, let's contact another brother or sister. So they prayed. Everything is done through prayer. No arrangement, not a movement of men, but God working in a person and then in person. So they contact another one, gain another one, gain another one. Let's say they are now five. What are they going to do? This is what the brother told us. They have to be built together as one, right? By much and thorough intimate fellowship. That's what the brother told us, right? So they learn of the situation, the spiritual condition of one another, the situation of one another before the Lord. And so they have a desire. They are getting a love and care for one another. So they prayed for one another in a very practical way. And then they learned to care for one another and help one another. Very practical. And by much and thorough prayer, here it says, they are blent together as one. So you can see, a vital group becomes a built-up group in love, in oneness, and in one accord. The brothers told us, if you gain a group in that way, that group has an impact. You know, in the full-time training, we have what we call propagation, short propagation, long propagation. You build teams, right? Build teams. And you just tell them, go out. You encourage them. Be fruit-bearing branches. The Lord says, go. So we encourage them. First come, then go. So we encourage them that way. So many teams, they went. And you know, because you just select them and just join them together. Many teams are fighting with one another. If you have a group like this, and you tell them, go and preach the gospel. While they are speaking something to the gospel friend, someone has a bad feeling toward another, right? Do you think they will bear fruit? Maybe the demons will whisper in the ear of the gospel contact, don't believe them, they are lying. So nothing will happen. But a vital group is not like that. A vital group is a group of normal believers, a group of overcomers. They have the impact. They are built together as one. So Brother Joel said, they will fellowship. They will study their contacts. They are burdened for their contact. They will pray. And then they will say, who's going to contact this? And then when they go, surely, when they go in that way, they will surely bear fruit. They will surely bear fruit. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord raise up many vital groups in the churches. Many vital groups. The vital groups will save us from our present condition. I do not know if you know our present condition. I asked Timothy. I'm not saying about spiritual condition. I mean, we're talking about the numbers. I asked Timothea. Timothea is our statistician. Timothea. So I asked him, Timothy, in Metro Manila, how many do we have today? And he gave me a list. Sorry, I'm talking about numbers, huh? I asked him, is this accurate? He said, that's accurate. So it's accurate. Okay, let us see. Huh? Oh, Lord Jesus. How many churches? Do you know how many churches do we have in Metro Manila? Do you know? Not Philippines, just Metro Manila. How many churches do we have? Those from, are you all from Metro Manila? Are you all? So you know how many churches we have in Metro Manila? How many? Oh, the elders, of course, they know how many. How about the saints, the rest of the saints? Do you know? 17. And do you know that there is one locality in Metro Manila that is not a city yet? Do you know that? The smallest locality in Metro Manila, what's that? Oh, you know, okay. Okay, pasa kayo. Okay. Okay, so let me tell you this. It's 17 local churches, some big, some small. But how many do we have today? The average wants meeting at the Lord's table. Of course, this is the Lord's table meeting. Brother Franklin told us yesterday, right? What the way we count is just the number of those in the Lord's table. Are we not going to count those who are in the groups? So I was, oh, yeah. Why are we not counting those who are in the groups? We are talking about the number of the saints in Metro Manila, but this is just the average meeting once at the table. It's 2,942. 2,942. Now tell me, is this big number or small number? Small number. Oh Lord Jesus, it's small number. So what are we going to do, saints? 2024. We need vital groups, right? Brother Lee said, the God-ordained way. We know the God-ordained way, right? The four steps of the God-ordained way. Begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and building by prophesying. He said, the lifeline of the God-ordained way, that means the only ones who can carry out the God-ordained way, which is the way to carry out God's economy, is the vital groups. And when I heard that, I said, do you understand? The ones who can carry out the God-ordained way to carry out God's economy, which is to minister, to dispense Christ, to build up the church as the body, is the vital group. Amen. So we realize we really need the vital groups in the church. Amen. Right? The vital groups will gain the increase in the Lord's recovery. The Lord said that He is the vine and we are the branches. We are the branches. One sister said, it's very, very normal for us to bear fruit. It's very, very normal for a branch to bear fruit. The fruit, the branch of the vine. Right? But a vine tree does not bear fruit daily. Right? Does a vine tree bear fruit daily? No. A vine tree does not bear fruit daily. At least it's a seasonal tree, right? At least it will bear one fruit year. Not one fruit, because it's cluster, right? Clusters of fruit. Once a year. It's not every day. So our brother said, as branches of the vine tree of the Lord, we need to bear fruit at least once a year. Once a year, right? Is it very hard to bear fruit once a year? Amen. Oh, you answer me so that we will be encouraged. Is it hard or is it not hard? To bear one remaining fruit. Because the Lord says, You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So the Lord has set us as his branches to bear fruit, and our fruit should remain. He even told us, whatever you ask the Father in my name, as long as it is for fruit bearing, then he will give to you. He will give to you. Right? So it's not hard to bear one remaining fruit. What is hard? The hardest thing is to contact people. Right? To contact people. Contact people for the gospel. So I'm just trying to imagine it. If we are, let's say we are 1,000 here. Metro Manila is 3,000. If we have 1,000 here. Let's say 1/3 of 1,000 here. 1/3. How many is 1/3? Around 333, right? Just 1/3. Brother Lee, he said he's not expecting, he did not expect that the whole church can do it all at once. He said at least if there's 1/3 that can do it, that's very good. So let's say we're 1,000 and 1/3 is 333. In 1 year, 333 will bear one remaining fruit, 2024. I told my wife, we need to bear fruit, 2024. It's not that we did not bear fruit. We bore some fruits, but nowhere to be seen now. Nowhere to be seen now. So I told her, 2024, we need to bear remaining fruit. We need to bear remaining fruit by 2024. That will be our consecration to the Lord. Lord, I want to bear at least one remaining fruit this coming year. Do you want to, personally, do you want to make that transaction with the Lord? Do you want to consecrate yourself to the Lord? To gain one remaining fruit this year, this coming year, 2024? Amen. Just 333. I do not know it's the 333, but just 1/3. 333. The best, of course, is 100% of us here, but just 1/3. 333. One remaining fruit each year. Next. 2024 year end conference. We will have 1,333. Is it good or not? Well, we are not just for numbers. We are not just for numbers. Because many Christian groups out there, they are really very many in number. But our goal in gaining people is not just for numbers. Not just for numbers. Our goal is to gain what? People. For the body of Christ. So it is not just to gain souls and win souls. Just to add a number. You know, one time, a brother, a brother came here. And our brother Jacinto, we had fellowship with this old brother. He is no longer here. He used to be with us here. And this is, I tell this again and again, right? And the brother Asito said, we feel shameful because according to the record, we are 600 local churches. That was years ago. Then he said, but now we are less than 300. It's really shameful. Then the brother said, it's really shameful. But what can you do? That's the truth. You have to face it, right? So he said, because the way we did it before is that we want to make 12 swords all at once. 12 swords. So hit the iron bars, and try to make 12 swords all at once. But you don't make a sword just by one hit. And it's a sword. That's magic. Right? No, you have to hit it until it's shaped into a real sword. So, but while you're doing it, the rest became cold already. So he said, it's better to have two real, finished, completed sword. The real thing. Right? So we learn our lesson. The same principle. Saints, we are not stirring you up to have many for numbers. What we desire is to gain people for the body of Christ. The reason we are being exhorted to become these vital persons is for desperation and absoluteness to gain people for the body of Christ. What the Lord wants to gain is the body of Christ. He wants to gain people for the body of Christ. And we are desirous of being these vital persons, these vital groups, to carry out the God-ordained way to produce the members of Christ. It is not an easy work, you know. We need to be desperate. We need to be absolute. Now, before we went to a place, we were asked to propagate in that place. That place has nothing, really nothing, really nothing. And we were thinking, what are we going to do here? So we went there. And, you know, Brother Lu Chi Cheng, I don't know if you don't know him, went there to establish the church in that place. When he went there to establish the church in that place, my wife looked at me. I look at my wife, because only two of us, and we grab hold of two, okay, to have a meeting. And my wife said, he will not establish it. He will not. But Brother Liu said, let's break bread. We were shocked. Let's break bread. That means you have to start the church life. And then I look at my wife look at me, you're the elder, I'm the deacon. It's the two of us. It's nothing there. So Brother Liu told us, don't go out. He said, don't go out. You have to pray for 30 days. Because the heavens, it's just like iron. And the earth is very hard. So you have to pray. Pray, pray, and pray. So we did that. We did not go out all at once. We just pray and pray. We did the usual thing. In the morning, we pursue together. We read the ministry. In the afternoon, every 3 o'clock, we come together. That's the two. We pray because we have no one. So we pray and pray. You know, the Lord is amazing. If we are desperate, if we are absolute, we want to gain the increase for the Lord's body, the Lord will work. Don't you believe he will work? If you're a person, you become desperate and absolute. Lord, I will not eat, I will not drink until you gain people for the body. This is our attitude, our spirit. Don't you think the Lord will not work? Don't you think the Lord will work or not? He will surely work. He has people everywhere. Look at the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the Bible says he was going back to his place. And the Bible says he had to pass through Samaria. He was not just passing there for just passing there. No Jew will pass by Samaria. But he had to pass by Samaria because there is someone there, an immoral woman, so thirsty, not satisfied by anything that this world can offer her. She was so thirsty, right? And she was so immoral. The Lord knew about that because according to the Bible, in chapter 6 of John, the Father gave her to the Lord. All that the Father has given him, he will not lose them. So he had to pass through that place, Sychar in Samaria. And he waited for that immoral woman. When she contacted the Lord, she touched the source of the living water. And she got satisfied. Brothers and sisters, if we are if by the Lord's mercy and grace, we become a vital person, we become a vital group, so desperate, so absolute. Lord, we want our church to increase, not so that we can say, oh, look at us, we are many than your church. Not that kind of thing, but for the body of Christ, then surely the Lord will work. You know, in our experience in that place, give me just 3 more minutes. Okay, sorry. One time, my wife and I, we went out, and we visited someone. You know, we were looking for people, so we visited someone. And then it was raining hard, so we took shelter in a small bakery, and we were there. Then the owner of the bakery approached us. He told us, "You're strangers in this place, right?" He said, "Yeah, we're strangers in this place. What are you? What are you doing here?" When we told him, "We are Christians. We are Christians." And he told us, "Oh, you're Christians. Do you know that in the Bible, there's no such thing as Baptist church, Methodist church, like this and like that. There's only the church in that place and in that place." Wow. We told him. Then we told him, "You're right. Can we sit down together?" He invited us, and we just read the mystery of human life to him. In less than 15 minutes, because the use was 15 minutes, but you can do it in 7 minutes. During that time, today, even an hour, you use the mystery of human life. If you don't have the spirit, if you are not desperate and absolute, no one will be gained, right? But during that time, 7 minutes, and he said he's willing to be baptized. Oh, we were so shocked and happy. And the wife was shocked. "What? You just met them tonight? You're going with them to be baptized?" But he cannot be stopped. He wanted to be baptized. And eventually, we shepherded him for 2+ long years. He will not join the meeting. He will not join the meeting. And I do not know what's energizing us. We can't stop. Sometimes we go to his place. You know, he's a businessman. Sometimes he drank a little more. And sometimes he will say, "I cannot meet because I've tried this." So my wife will do the therapy. You know that? While I am ministering from the life lessons. It's like that. And then we told him, after 2 or more years, we told him, "Brother," I told my wife, "it's more than 2 years already. It's not going to the Lord's table meeting. I think we need to stop. Let's tell him, you're a businessman. If your business always break even, all year round, all years, break even, what are you going to do? Close business or change business?" So I planned to tell this to him. So we went there. And we told him, I really told him, "Brother, you're a businessman, right? What are you going to do? Like this. So we decided that we will stop going to you now. It's quite a long time. The next Lord's Day, he joined the meeting. Lord's table meeting. Oh, we're so happy. Oh, I told my wife, "How can we stop? We cannot stop." But still, after that, we'll not go to the meeting again. So you know what we did? Let's bring the meeting to his house. So the meeting was brought to the house. The family, the whole family was gained, and we start to break bread in that house. Up until now, right? So my point is this, brothers and sisters. The Lord has prepared the people whom he likes to be saved, but we need to contact them. But who is going to contact them? The vital groups. The vital groups. Do you believe? Brothers and sisters, you say, "Maybe I can gain only one." It's okay. 1 year, only one, it's okay. 2 years, only one, it's okay. 3 years, only one, it's okay. Maybe you will gain one who is like the Apostle Paul. You know, one time, there is this brother. You know, we met him in the campus. You know, we served before in the campus. It's very far from Tugigaraw, right? And so we went there. It's a big brother. And so we shared the gospel to them, the students. They're saved. They love to meet together. Then my wife and I, we said, "Let's bring them to FAC. many students. Let's bring them to FAC so that once they see FAC, they see the brothers and sisters, and they see the full-time training, maybe they will be inspired. So that's what we did. We talked to the saints in Tuguegarao. You know, that's why I understood that word. I rob other churches for your sake. So we told them, you know, it's so good if we can bring them to Malabon, blah 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 blah. And you know, Tuguegarao is very generous, as long as it is for the gospel. So we rented an aircon bus. Imagine, no dinero, but aircon bus. So we came here with the students. Then one of them in FE stood up and declared very bravely, said, "I will establish the church in my locality." We were laughing. We're laughing then. It's not so easy, right? How are you going to start? But that really happened. You know his place, brothers and sisters. If you're going to his place, you have to either take the boat, right, taking the Pacific Ocean, or ride a Cessna plane for 5 people only. Just like a tutubi bayon, before you reach the place. You know, this is an ad lib again. Sister Lodi, she was not able to join me because they weigh the people. They weigh the people riding in that plane. And by that time, she's 80 kilos already. So she's disqualified. She cannot join. So Sabulon and myself, we went there. That brother, when he went home, he preached the gospel to all his relatives. You know, he baptized 27 people. He baptized, so only one, but he baptized 27 people. And Brother Liu said, go to that place and establish that place. Up until now, there is a little place, little church in that place. They continue on. Brothers and sisters, my point is, they are all out there. Let me ask you, Joel said, make a list. Who will be in your list? I suppose the first ones who will be in your list is your family. The closest to you, your family. I do not know if all your family members are saved already or not. But Joel told us, right? He told us that scenario, a scenery in Hades, paradise, right? He told us, are we not going to be burdened to bring our family to the Lord? How about our closest relatives, our intimate friends, our colleagues? Are we not going to put them in the list? Who knows? Maybe one of them is a chosen one of the Lord. So I'm ending my speaking. My point is this, brothers and sisters. The Lord has raised us all for his economy, right? We all say amen to this, right? I'm here not because the church is so lovely outwardly, happy family. No, we are all saved because God has an economy. And his economy needs people, needs members to be the members of his body. So he needs us to produce vital groups and gain people for the body of Christ. So we hope that 2024, we will have a consecration. Lord Jesus, I consecrate myself to you. I want to be a fruit-bearing branch this year. I want to bear at least one remaining fruit this year, not alone, but with my vital group companions. May the Lord bless us. We hope next year it will not just be this number. We hope that next year, Brother Jonathan will have a big problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord bless his words. Amen. Amen.